is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
It is May 10th, 2021. The early days of the vaccines that would rescue the Earth from the lockdowns and the restrictions and the doubts about the pandemic. And then an ultimatum by bad actors in Gaza Strip along the coast of the Mediterranean. An ultimatum delivered to Israel for and fill in the blanks of provocations, because I have someone here to help me understand what happened in 2021 and why this could easily happen again right now or at any time. I welcome Jonathan Schanzer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, most importantly, the author of Gaza Conflict 2021, Hamas, Israel, and 11 Days of War. Jonathan, a very good evening to you. It's a year since, and time to be reflective about these events that you've written about so carefully. It is 10 May at 6 p.m. The ultimatum has expired. Within moments, rockets fly from Gaza into Israel, randomly, irresponsibly, trying to kill anybody they can reach. What was the driving force of Hamas now that it's a year later? What did they want to achieve with this rocket attack? Good evening to you, Jonathan.
Good evening, John. It has been a year, and I think very little has changed. One could argue that the war in some ways never stopped, that the hostilities have been a constant over this last year. The immediate cause for the conflict last year was tension resulting from the month of Ramadan, the holy month of Ramadan. In addition to that, there were concerns raised about a real estate conflict in the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood of East Jerusalem, where Israel was said to be on the precipice of evicting some of the Arab residents there. There was Jerusalem Day, tensions surrounding who controlled what in Israel's old city. At the end of the day, I would say that it looks very similar to events that we have just witnessed over the last few weeks. And yet we have not seen any rockets fired out of the Gaza Strip. The reason for that, in my view, is that Hamas does not want a war right now. Back then it did. And the reason why that it did was that the Palestinian Authority, the leading government actor in the West Bank, had just canceled elections. Hamas was set to take part in those elections, and they were barred from doing so at the last minute. This, I believe, elicited the response. This was more of a local political argument that was playing out through rocket attacks against Israel, primarily because Hamas wanted to reassert itself within the Palestinian political dynamic. And that, I believe, was ultimately what drove the war last year and is what is not driving the war now.
So this was electioneering, Jonathan? I don't mean to be cynical, but is that how Gaza Strip regarded these waves of rockets? They were striking campaign posture?
To an extent, yes. I mean, look, first of all, don't forget that Hamas doesn't exactly need an excuse to go to war with Israel. It is constantly in a state of war with Israel, and it's constantly being urged by some of the state actors, such as Iran or Turkey or Qatar or whomever, to engage in those hostilities with Israel, and it doesn't need an excuse. However, when we look back at the events of last year, we can say with certainty that Hamas was reeling from the decision to have it be excluded from those elections. They looked weak. They looked downtrodden. They looked like they had been essentially pushed out of the Palestinian political dynamic. They were looking for ways to get back in. All of the other things that we saw them responding to, whether it was that real estate controversy or it was Ramadan, right? These are all things that just happened in recent weeks and that did not spark a war. The only major difference between last year and this year was that decision made several weeks prior to remove Hamas from the electoral process. I believe that was the primary driver, but not the only one, for Hamas in their decision to launch war. And look, it gets back to that old adage that all politics are local. At the end of the day, I believe that Hamas, look, they don't need votes. Right? They are not, they don't play by electoral rules, but they are very sensitive to their perception on the Arab street. They're very sensitive to that sense of primacy among those Palestinian political factions. And this, I believe, was a driving factor for them last year.
There are exogenous events in the interim. I mentioned the Abraham Accords deepening relationship between Israel and major actors in the Gulf across the Mediterranean basin. There is the ongoing offgoing negotiation about the Iran deal. There is the question of MBS and MBC being alienated from Washington. Is that all outside of Gaza's interest, that they're deaf to all those things that are going on in the world around them?
No, not at all. I think they were influenced by this. In fact, I actually believe that it was the Abraham Accords that ultimately pushed the Palestinian Authority and Hamas to decide to hold elections in April, those elections that ultimately saw Hamas being pushed from the process. And so they were very sensitive to the need in the aftermath of those peace agreements to forge a new Palestinian political entity, to try to come together as one and to no longer project that fragmented political landscape that we've been seeing since Hamas took over the Gaza Strip by force in 2007. Since then, we've had two different Palestinian entities, one in the Gaza Strip, one in the West Bank. And it's been very confusing for the Arab world, confusing for the Israelis and for the great powers that have tried to end the Palestinian conflict. And so that's what drove some of the reunification or reconciliation efforts. But ultimately, again, I think that Hamas found itself on the outside looking in, and was also, I think, to a certain extent, looking to spark that war with Israel for very tactical reasons. I think it's now widely accepted in Israel that they were testing out some new weapon systems. They were testing Israel's defenses. They wanted to see if they could overwhelm Israel's remarkable Iron Dome air defense system. They were, generally speaking, not able to do so, but they were also using drones, aerial drones, underwater drones, tunnel systems. There was an attempt there to perhaps see whether they could penetrate Israel's defenses for the first time.
Jonathan, who paid for the Gaza war in 2021? Who funds the Hamas now? We have about a minute.
Iran. Iran is the primary actor. Iran has been training Hamas. They have been funding Hamas. They have been helping Hamas build tunnels. They have helped them engineer some of their larger rockets, some of their tunnels. This has been going on since the late 1980s. And it was remarkable to me that we did not hear Iran mentioned by the Biden administration or even by Israel as much as it should have been.
And so that funding is still available, or is Iran distracted by other concerns, chiefly the home rule that they struggle with now because of sanctions?
No, the funding is still flowing. And in fact, the Iranian leadership was boasting about the help that they had given Hamas during this war, during the last war. This is something that has been so incredibly consistent. And what's really remarkable is the way that they have taught Hamas to be more self-sufficient over time, not only reliant on that cash, but relying on that know-how to build the weaponry that is ultimately used against Israel.
Jonathan Shanzer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. The book is Gaza Conflict 2021, Hamas, Israel, and the 11 Days of War. Not only a history, but a playbook for the future. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.